Let's pray, okay? Father, thank you for the way you helped me put this together this week. God, you know how nervous I was bringing this message in front of my church family. And God, you worked out a way, Lord, for me to come here this morning with this. And so excited, God, to talk about somebody that everybody avoids and nobody wants to talk about. And yet, Lord, there's something powerful there that we got to tap into. So, God, I'm asking you, would you give it life right now? Would you give it life? And, Lord, would you bring about your desire for this message this morning? In the name of Jesus, amen. I want to talk about, it's in the bulletin. What did I title it in the bulletin? The guy we all want to avoid. On my notes, my title is the most avoided character in the Bible. The most avoided character in the Bible. And the name of the file is going to be very simple on the podcast, Jean. It's simply going to say Job. Okay? Job. Boy, Craig, first time here and he's already making noise. That's pretty good. You're going to fit in perfect, man. Make sure you meet Craig before you leave. He's a very nice guy. At least so far. Yeah. Nobody talks about Job. You never got, especially on the TV guys. Oh my goodness. They avoid him like the plague. Nobody wants to talk about Job. Now, my father died at the age of 59, and he read the Bible through 59 times. Not because he wanted to do it every year, it just turned out that way, okay? And I don't know if I've told you the story, like 59's like, that's the jersey I wear when I have my choice of wearing what number in baseball and everything. Because my dad died at the age of 59, he died 59 days short of his 60th birthday, and I read the Bible through 59 times, and I was born in 1959. So 59's a bit of a number in my life, okay? Means nothing, it's all coincidence, okay? Anyway, I say that to say this, he used to say the best way to read Job, now I don't know if I agree with him, but you know, nothing hurts if you're going to read the word. It's always good to read the word. He said the best way to read Job, and he read it through at least 59 times, is to read it one sitting. And if you read it from cover to cover, one sitting, it takes you about 90 minutes. I've done that once. It gives you a good perspective, I can't doubt it. But it's a very complicated book. Most biblical scholars believe that this book was written even before the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. Okay? And even, it was written after Job, but it's got a long, long, long history to it. And, there's a dimension in God here. And I don't even think I'd like to call it faith, but there's something about Job's connection with God that I have never seen firsthand in church life anywhere yet. Let me repeat that. There's a dimension in his relationship with God and his love for God that I've never seen firsthand in church life. Okay? What happens when you're called to a higher purpose than you can understand? Okay? What happens when you're called to a higher purpose than you can understand? And next to Jesus, probably the greatest example of devotion to God in the Bible is Job. It really is. He's called to expose a lie. Job is called to expose a lie that so many people believe. Okay? And here's the lie. And it comes right out of the devil's mouth when he's standing before God in the first chapter of Job. He only serves you for what you can give him. Okay? Job's life is going to expose that lie. Okay? Job reveals, like no other book in the Bible, okay, what it means to really follow Christ, to really follow God. Now, Job's not exposing the lie. Okay? He doesn't know what's going on. Yes, I'm going to expose that lie. That's what I'm going to do for God. No. Okay? He'd probably write a book about it and make a lot of money later. But that's not what he did here, okay? He's not the one exposing the lie. But God is using his life. God uses his life to expose that lie. I don't think Job's even sure what he's called to do, okay? He's just, hi, I'm Job, you know? And all of a sudden, boom, you know? His faith, I don't even want to call it faith. Because what we know as faith compared to what this guy has, man, it's on another level. Like I said, I've never seen that type of, I can't even call it faith. His devotion in relation to God, I've never seen that firsthand. I've read about it. I've heard about it. Okay. Sometimes we call it, I guess you could call it pop faith, popular faith. You've heard this term, achieving faith, you know? Yeah, it's a kind of faith. You've heard it all. Follow Jesus. He'll bless you, you know? Now, and there's hints of this throughout the Bible, and I think it keeps referring, I want to tie it back to Job. Some of these scriptures you've heard of before. If I have faith that can move mountains and have not love. The kind of love, and I think that the love and the devotion that Job had for God, I think it was this kind of devotion and love. Because this doesn't even call it faith. Okay, you got faith that can move mountains, but this is even more powerful than that. Okay? It's more powerful. It implies that there's something more powerful than achieving faith. You know? You hear all these guys that accomplish things, sports stars, you hear it all the time. Well, you know, he's got faith, you know? Oh, my faith in God, blah, 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 blah. You know, and sometimes, I don't know, like, I'm really cynical when I hear that stuff. When I hear, like, you know, Miss America get up or Miss Canada, I'm just glad that, you know, Jesus is my Savior and I believe and I trust him. Or the football quarterback, you know, that signs a multi-man, yeah, God's my co-pilot and all this. It's easy for them. Everything's going good, you know? Miss America looks gorgeous. You know, the quarterback makes millions of dollars, you know. I love it when I get somebody that stands up, you know, like a teenager full of pimples and, you know, oily hair. And I thought I was nothing. And I get beat up in school regularly. But Jesus came into my life and no matter what happens, I know I belong to him. Wow. That, to me, that's just me. To me, that's more impressive, okay? This is at another level even more though, okay? There's something more powerful than faith as we know it. Achieving faith. It holds on and believes when prayers don't get answered like we wanted them to. Like we hoped that they would. Okay? Look what Job says. Okay? In 13:15. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. That's one of the signature lines from the whole book. Even though God's killing me, I will still trust him. Man, I think of my relationship to God and my trust in God. You know, a thought just came to me. I wonder, and I've seen this happen in other people's lives. People confess just like I did. Man, I don't see that in my life. But I've seen people that have gone through horrible, horrible things. And their faith, even though they don't know it's there, or whatever it is that's there that's more powerful than faith, it rises to the challenge. And they end up conquering, and they end up hanging on and trusting God. In fact, I would put it a little bit further. I'm not a betting guy. I have bought a lottery ticket in my life, okay? I would bet that this kind of powerful love, faith, whatever you call it, I think it's resident within some people here and you don't even know it. You don't even know it. You don't need to know it right now because you don't need it. But I think when Jesus Christ comes into your life, when you accept him as Lord and Savior, I think there's way more power comes into your life than you think, than we think. Okay? I'm not sure. I'm just throwing that out there. We're looking at the Bible and trying to understand it and maybe have the Holy Spirit give life to it in our lives here this morning, okay? I would suggest to you that this kind of faith or whatever is, I think we're all in agreement. It's more powerful than the faith that we're used to, right? Or even the faith that we wish we had, you know? I think this is the kind of faith that moves mountains, okay? Again, I could be wrong, but I want to give you some more examples of this, okay? Some of them you know these examples, and this one gets quoted a lot in Christchurch, okay? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Here it is, right here. If it be so, our God who we serve is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire. That's pop faith. We all understand that faith. We got that, okay? And he will deliver us out of your hand. Whoa, pushing the envelope a little bit there. That's a little bit more strong than most of us are even comfortable with. But then it goes into this Job realm here. But even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods of worship, the golden image that you've set up. You can kill us. We're not going to bow. Oh, man. like we know the end of the story. We go, oh, isn't that nice? This guy right here is a madman. He is crazy. He kills people and nobody questions. Okay? In fact, they applaud. There they all are in the background there, bowing down to his image there. They have no idea what's coming. And look what they say to him. That takes it to another realm. Here's another example. And others experienced mockings and scourging. Yes, also chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted. They were put to death with the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, men of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. And all these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised, because God had provided something better for us. Wow. That's more than pop faith there. Okay? It's a little scary. That's, you know, maybe this is the love that 1 Corinthians 13 is talking about when it says, you know, simple love for God that's real. You know, if I can speak with the eloquence of angels, if I can fathom all mysteries, if I give everything I have to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, you know, anybody does that, we go, wow, that's a real devoted follower of Christ. And if I don't have love, I'm nothing. Okay? Pretty powerful stuff. Remember, at the end of 1 Corinthians 13, okay, it says, these three remain, faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. So, you know what that means? Love is greater than hope. Love is greater than faith. Is your faith weak? Okay, a lot of our faith is weak. Love's more important. I would suggest that Job's, that if you want to call it faith, that's not like faith I've ever seen. That's something that's, I don't want to say supernatural, because if it's supernatural, well, but yeah, maybe I should say it's supernatural. Because if it's supernatural, it's not like God that we learn about in the Bible to deprive it from anybody that desires it. It's going to, it may cost you a lot. But when you look at Job, it seems, and the saints in Hebrews, it seems like it's worth having. In fact, Jesus said, if you save your life, you're going to lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake, you'll save it. He even said, deny yourself. There's something more powerful, and I'm not talking like I understand it. I just feel there's a power here that we need to take seriously. And we need to have God talk to us about. I think it's a key to unlocking something that I personally have never seen in church life before. Okay? I think there's something there. And if it's for us, there's something more powerful. There's something more cosmic. There's something more eternal than me getting what I think I should have or deserve or want. Okay? Like, that's not easy to say in front of your friends, because there's somebody more important sitting here than my friends. God, what comes out of our mouth, he takes seriously. So I'm getting to understand a bit of the danger of this type of discussion here. But when I read about these people, I don't even feel like I'm a follower of Christ when I see the kind of devotion they have. That's not a negative. I see that and I go, they better get more of a reward than I when we get to heaven. Holy smoke, man. In fact, they're not even thinking about it. God's got a hold of their lives. Job is eternal proof that trials don't always mean we've done something wrong. You got that? Got that? Okay. Now, I don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. Sometimes you reap what you sow. Sometimes you make really dumb choices. I have brought on all sorts of stupid stress. If I'd only been more Christ-like, or maybe listened to my wife or trusted God, okay, I could have saved myself a lot of grief. But not all bad things happen because you are reaping what you've sown. Job's powerful, powerful declaration of that. Look at John 9. As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, look, they used to think this way too. Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he would be born blind? Jesus said, it was neither that these men have sinned nor his parents, but it was so that the works of God might be displayed in him. The same can be said for Job. What's going on here? So that the works of God can be displayed through Job. Now, if I was Job, I'd say, how come I gotta be the guy that's going through this? You know? Nobody sinned, okay, with Job. Nobody sinned here. This guy was upright and pure, and God even boasted about him. Can you imagine God boasting about you? I mean, it's one thing, you know, to have, you know, your friends say, yeah, way to go, you know, but God! God! This is not fake news here. This is like the guy who knows everything. God was boasting about him. So there's no sin involved here. And Job was bearing fruit. This guy was complete. He was blameless. He was upright. And Job is not called to do anything. And we've got the luxury of seeing it after the story. He didn't know it at the time. But the only thing that he was called to was to trust in God and wait it out. Trust in God and wait it out. And his life becomes an inspiration, not to millions, to billions. To billions. He didn't know what the end was going to be. Had no idea. In fact, he was hoping to die. Just kill me now. Curse the day I was born. You know? But he's not letting go of the one that he's connected with in a way that we've never seen anywhere else in the Bible. Okay? Look what John says. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes so it will bear more fruit. I don't like that verse. Okay? But there have been times when he's done that to me. And he doesn't waste pruning. He doesn't waste sorrow. He doesn't waste horrible stress and tragedy. You know, there's got to be yielding, though. You know, look, it's no use fighting. You're never going to win a fight with God. You know, you yield, okay? Oh, that I knew where I might find him. Look at that Job in the middle of it. Oh, if I knew where I might find him. He had no clue. Just think about it. A guy more righteous than anybody in this room will ever be is calling out to God. I don't even know where he is. What does that say? That says that you can be the most mighty, powerful man or woman of God and not have a clue what's going on in your life. Okay? The only thing this guy, the only thing he's got is, I am not letting go of God. Why? Even his wife says, you know, because his wife is, I'm married to this, like, boil-covered, poor, wretched, you know, curse God and die, you know? I mean, his wife was probably very uncomfortable being married to this loser. She didn't know what the end of the thing was. I mean, all the stuff and the wealth and everything, you know, whoa, I don't know if I want to hang around anymore. You know, put an end to it. She was thinking just like the rest. You must have done something wrong that I don't know about. Curse God and die. I want to get on with my life. Boy, my wife would never do that to me. Okay. You can be in the center of God's will and not have a clue where God is. This guy feels abandoned. He feels smitten. Cheated, set up, forgotten, and nothing could have been further from the truth than that. Okay? What was the end? What did he accomplish? Well, he gained back double in material goods. He died at a good old age. He had 10 more children. But something was accomplished in Job even greater than that. Okay? What was accomplished in Job? Tough word. Humility. I could tell you this guy, boy, powerful, powerful humility like I don't think anybody else in the Bible. And look what he says at the end of it all. I'm nothing. I repent in dust and ashes. I wouldn't have said that. That's not me. I would have said, what in the world are you, put me all through this and because you had a little crap game with the devil? What is your problem? Of course, then again, that's me. That's not Job. And I look at his life and I look at his devotion to God and his love. Do I really want that in my life? You know what it feels like? I don't want to say this because it's too scary. I think that's the missing ingredient in my life. I do. Maybe it's because I'm getting older. You don't care about stuff. You see how messed up the world is and you realize their only hope is Jesus. You look at your own life, man, my only hope is Jesus. But I don't have Jesus like that. But I think if you grow more in the Lord, you start hungering. What does the Bible say? Those that hunger and thirst for righteousness will be filled. I don't always feel filled. This is what I need, I think. I really do. Now, the beautiful thing about the Lord, if I say, God, I'm scared, but I want to follow you. I don't know about you, but I get this message back from God. Keep following me. you're on the right track. I'm of the, I think, and I could be wrong here, this could be heresy, forgive me if it is, okay? Somehow I think God just might have been giving him the strength in the background to carry on. I do. Okay? I mean, he gets mad at God. He just, you know what? You see devotion to God from Job to God like nothing else, but that's nothing compared to God's devotion to Job. He loves him even more. Okay? As a matter of fact, maybe Job was tapping in to the love of God to a degree that he was starting to love like God loves. Unconditionally. No strings attached. And then he realizes what his old faith was, which is where I would be. Oh man, that's not even faith compared to what I have now. I repent. Okay? Humility must be a pretty valuable thing to God. Responding to the call of God doesn't mean a mastery of the task. Yeah, got it together, you know. Or even great achieving faith. It means walking in utter dependence on God. I have to have God in everything in my life. It means knowing and trusting God enough that you really love God. And this is the measuring stick we're using or we're looking at this morning when we ask how much. You want the promise? What's the promise? The promise is all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. And we've talked about the purpose. The purpose is being conformed to the likeness of his son. Do you want that promise? Well, you got to accept the call. I have to accept the call. Most of us have got call display. It's confession time. I have to confess. Not with any of you here, but sometimes I get call display and I see who's calling. And yeah, I'm not going to answer that right now. Because if I answer that right now, there goes a half hour. No, I haven't. God, forgive Richard for lying. God, he really loves you, and he's called to heckle in a spirit-anointed way, but God, yeah. See, like a Holy Spirit's flowing, there's confession going on in the crowd right now. See, okay? I think that's awesome. Okay? You see that? Now, this kind of call for me talking... And if you're normal, some of you are sitting there going, whoa, counsel, I don't know, man. Okay? And that's call display. God starts talking, and am I gonna pick my trial or my frustration, pick my situation, pick my stress? His will, okay, pick your situation, your stress, your trial, everything, the monster, the elephant in the room, okay? His will is that it works out for the good. If you accept the call, you got to accept the call. Okay, God, it's not my life. Now, some of you, you've heard, well, you got nothing to lose. That's a lie. Job lost a lot. Go ahead, accept the call. You got nothing. Oh, you could lose a lot. You could lose a lot. But if you have God, lots of times it's better off losing all those things because he's the one that said, if you don't lose what you've got, you're never going to find me. Okay? This is real stuff. This isn't pop faith. Okay? This isn't, let's go to church and everybody will feel good when we leave. I told you, I'm not a church guy. You don't need to hear another message. I don't need to sing songs. God did not fill me with the Holy Spirit so that we could run a show on Sunday morning. Okay? Craig's gonna leave now. Okay, no. So some of you are thinking, and I've said this before and it bears repeating, then why do we do this? Because this is all I know how to do. Okay? It's all of us, a lot of us know how to do. But God can work with that. It's the old 5 loaves and 2 fishes. You give it to the master. He knows, the kid knows he can't feed 5,000 people, but you give it to Jesus and oh my goodness, he does things that you never expected. If that doesn't happen in our midst, well, I wouldn't be here if I didn't believe that could happen. Okay? Would have packed it in long ago. You may have something to lose. Job lost a lot. The biggest thing he lost was his limited perspective. I didn't know how limited my perspective was on Jesus, on church, on my relationship to my friends. I didn't know how limited perspective I was until I went through what went through in the last church. Okay? You talk about a PhD education, and I've told people I don't know if I'll ever recover from it. But if the good that's being accomplished, okay, I don't think I should recover from it. Just like Jacob, when he wrestled with the angel, he walked away for the rest of his life with his limp. And yet he walked away with more spiritual power and authority than ever. Okay? Sometimes when we go through crap and we're scarred, God will not remove the scars, because those scars are a reminder of how powerful and faithful God is and how we have to depend on Him. Okay? He has got to be our source. He has got to be our anointing. He gained a lot too. Job, his greatest gain was real, honest to goodness, without a doubt, humility. Oh, we'll go back to that. Okay? I said it's a dimension in God that I haven't seen firsthand in church life anywhere. Yet. Close your eyes with me. Close your eyes. Now, I hope I word this right. I'm trying to talk. I don't know if it's the real deal, but I think it might be the real deal. Something that God wants us to tap into, as opposed to just old normal faith that everybody understands, to something that's more real and more powerful than we've ever had in our lives. I'm not even going to lead you in a prayer. I'm just going to ask you, John, it's kind of scary, but I think I'd like a piece of that in my life. If that's you, put your hand up. Okay? Oh, wow. Yoo-hoo! Oh, man, put your hands down. Wow. Oh, wow. That's awesome. Oh, my goodness. That kind of threw me now. I don't know what to do now. Holy smoke. Okay, what did I say wrong? They didn't get it right. They can't, there's no way. Okay. A lot of visitors here this morning. It's great. And we do this every Sunday morning. Keep your eyes closed, okay? You got to close your eyes, because I don't want to embarrass anybody. If you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you want to make that right this morning, I want to pray with you before you leave, okay? Whip your hand up real quick and put it right back down. If you've done it before, don't put your hand up, okay? Because we're tight enough, we know each other enough here that we kind of check up on each other, and we're, you know, that's a good thing. But if you don't know Christ, and we're not going to center you out and embarrass you or anything like that, or make you sing the national anthem in front of the crowd or anything, but you don't know Christ, and you want to receive Him as Lord and Savior this morning, I'll get you before you get out of the room. I'll track you down. We'll pray together. But I want to know. Raise your hand up and down. Okay, good. That's good. I feel led to pray with you before we go into the corny old hymn here, okay? Father, there's a lot here to digest. And God, it's going to take way more than just a sermon. So Lord, I'm asking for help, Lord God. You saw how many hands went up, Lord God, when I asked if people wanted a piece of that. And God, honestly, God, it kind of scared me, because I'm the pastor of this church. And God, I, in my flesh, Lord, God, it's like I've been riding a little play horse, Lord, all my life. And you want me to lead and disciple a whole herd of thoroughbreds here, God. And Lord, please, would you show us? You got to be the head of this church, God. And we're asking and we're agreeing in the name of Jesus. Please, God, deliver us from same old, same old. That's a cliche. We say it so often, but God, it's all we know. And all we know is God, we need more than what we know. Please lead us to where you want to take us. Take away the fear. Take away the fear of the things that would hold us back. Give us, Lord God, what we saw in the scriptures this morning. That's a crazy thing to ask for, and I can't believe them. But God, we've tasted of the old, and we can't go back, Lord, to what we do. Lord, you got it. You got too much purpose. You got too much things you want to do in our midst, God. Do not let our old churchified prejudices hold us back, Lord. Please, God, I say that of myself more than anybody in this room. God, show us what real accountability is. Show us what real Christ-likeness is. Show us what real love is, God. And God, everything we're asking for, God, is you can't deny it, God, because it's honoring to you. So we claim it in the name of Jesus Christ. If you're with me on that prayer, say amen. Amen. Corny hymn time. Okay? This is really corny, but I looked at the lyrics. I thought, man, we gotta sing that. In fact, I've sung this one around the house, and I've done it in a crazy, stupid voice and driven my kids crazy, you know? But, you know, I kind of got rebuked. And if you know it, sing with me. And I've had many tears and sorrows. I've had questions for tomorrow. There have been times when I didn't know right from wrong. But in every situation, God gave blessed consolation that my trials came to only make me strong. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon His Word. So I thank God for the mountains, and I thank Him for the valleys, and I thank Him for the storms He's brought me through. 'Cause if I didn't have a problem, I'd never know that God could solve them. I never know what faith in God could do. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon His Word. Not too corny, is it? Pretty good. Some of these old songs, I've sung them so long they become corny and cliche. But when you come back to them after 30 years, you go, holy smoke, man. That's me. Hope that's all of us. Okay, tickle somebody before you leave and give somebody else a hug and do what's appropriate. And please, no harassment of any kind. But make sure the person you're talking to or whatever feels loved in a very encouraging way. God bless y'all.